Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com and Wrestling Write-Ups. And Brandon is on the other line. Brandon, how are you?
Doing great, Jim. It's SummerSlam weekend. What's going on with you?
Not much. A couple rounds of golf, 2 days in a row. I like never get out this much, and I've gotten out 2 days in a row now. So I've been like super pumped about that. But we have put things aside for long enough, I suppose. We've got NXT TakeOver this weekend on Saturday. Then we've got SummerSlam on Sunday. Both very big cards for the two respective brands. So I probably can't put this off anymore without talking about, you know, our match predictions and some rumors and all sorts of fun stuff going through that. So you up for doing that for the next 45 minutes or so?
Yeah, before we do, though, I don't think the audience really realizes, like, you said forever ago, I don't know how many podcasts ago, but, like, you said we're not used to, like, a 9-to-5 job thing, so when we started, that's going to be interesting. I don't want them to think that you don't do anything. You work so many different, like, it's insane how much you do in a week, and I don't understand how you have time for it all. And you also have a family, so just, you know, shout out to you for that. Like, that's a lot.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I write at a lot of places. I run a business. I coach baseball. I help with some hockey. I play golf when I can. I've got articles and podcasts and videos that I do. It's fun. You know, like, I like being busy. I'd much rather be busy than not have anything to do. So, yes, I haven't had a full 9-to-5 job in 20-something years, but at the same time, I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off for all those two decades. So it's a good work if you can get it, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I'm absolutely up for talking pay-per-views.
Okay, well, let's start with TakeOver because it's coming first. It's always really good. We can breeze through it a little bit just because it's a smaller card with less matches, but you know, what are going to be really good matches. We were just both looking at this card before we came on the air here and said, wow, we haven't really followed up on NXT as much as we probably should have for two guys that host a podcast about wrestling, but
and two guys who love NXT.
Yeah. You know, like, I can't lie and say that I've watched every episode of NXT over the last month, leading up to the pay-per-view, but looking at the card, I mean, it is extremely good. I mean, we've been here a couple times, like with the Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano match. You know, we know what that could look like, and we know how good that will probably be. So it's, you know, that we'll save that one for last because we know that it'll be the best. But there's a lot going on here. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start, you know, should we just go in order, like reverse order?
Yeah, we can do that. Before we even start, I think out of the five matches that there are on the card, I see two matches that can easily be five-star matches. Like, one that definitely will be, and one that has very strong potential to be. And that's incredible.
Yeah, well, my guess is you're talking about the Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne, Roderick Strong match, and then the main event. Is that, that's my, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's no disrespect. Shayna Baszler and Mia Yim are both really good. Candice LeRae, Io Shirai are really good. And Street Profits and Undisputed Era are really great, but, like,
yeah, I mean, don't. I would say let's not discount that Street Profits Undisputed Era match because I have a feeling that that could be the surprise match of the night. That this, those two teams, they work really well together. They've already been in the ring a couple times. Undisputed Era is really good, and the Street Profits are coming on like thunder, gangfire. Like, I mean, they're just unbelievably popular right now and really good, and people are starting to get to know them a little bit on the main roster, even though they haven't watched them wrestle. So if they haven't been watching NXT and they're only familiar with them from their backstage stuff on Raw, then you don't really know what you're in for when you're getting ready to watch the Street Profits because it's going to be a good match. So let's start with the Candice LeRae, Io Shirai match. I haven't followed either one of these guys enough to know what this match will look like or their storylines so much, but I do know that Io Shirai is probably a hop, skip, and a jump away from the main roster, and Candice LeRae will probably stay with NXT as long as Gargano's with NXT. So I see Shirai maybe taking the loss here and perhaps moving up sooner than later, but I don't know. What do you think about this match?
I would say the opposite. I think that, I mean, I agree with you. She's probably, like, she's in there like the Bayley situation, like Nikki Cross or like Finn Balor, you know, where they're so good, but they still need like top talent at NXT at all times until they can circulate people through. I would say, yeah, she's definitely going to elevate Candice LeRae. But I'm not sure that means that Candice LeRae is going to win. Because, I mean, we've seen before where people get elevated after winning. Rather, they'll win, they'll still go to the main roster after. And then, I mean, then there's McMahon to not know what to do with them. But and this can go either way, to where Shirai can win and come off on, you know, a huge hot streak and then end up getting, like, I don't know, Raw the next night, for example, or SmackDown like 2 nights later, or maybe it's months down the road, but she's definitely close to a call-up. So do they want her to lose and lose steam? At the same time, how many fans who watch Raw and SmackDown actually watch NXT and are, it can, like, you know what I mean? Like, they actually follow up with storylines and who's hot and who's not hot. You just mentioned the Street Profits. Most people know them from their Raw exposure and not from their actual time at NXT, where they're champions, right? But I think Candice LeRae has the most to gain from on the NXT brand as far as getting the rub. So yeah. I will agree that Candice LeRae wins, but I don't think it's as simple as, like, well, Io Shirai's going to get called up, so she doesn't need to win.
Yeah, I don't know that Io Shirai is going to get a call up immediately. I just get the sense that the whole Kabuki Warrior thing is not going the way that WWE had planned on it going, and Paige has just now announced that she's going for neck surgery, and so that may affect her ability to manage that team. So I'm wondering if somewhere along the line WWE says, okay, well, this isn't what we thought it was going to be, and originally everybody figured that Io Shirai would come up with Kairi Sane, and that didn't happen, so...
Yeah.
Maybe there's some other stuff going on behind the scenes there where they're thinking, okay, well, maybe we'll set this up. Like, we'll work our way towards it. And NXT has been really good about making sure that when people are getting ready to be called up, like, it doesn't happen all the time. It's not a universal thing. But almost every time, exclusively, these guys have lost and then left, right? Traditionally, they've been doing the rub or putting the person over in the match that they're in last. That almost always happens in NXT. So if mm-hmm. that's anywhere near happening... then that's why I'm picking Candice LeRae. But you might be right. That Io Shirai thing may be happening, but not for a while. And after SummerSlam comes and goes, there's really not a huge opportunity, anything coming up in the immediate future. I think Survivor Series might be the next big one after this.
November, right?
Yeah, where that could be an opening to have a surprise member of a team or something, right? You know, like the Kabuki Warriors being on a team. That's interesting, actually. Yeah, being on a team, and then all of a sudden they need a third member. Oh, hey, here's Io Shirai, right? You know what I mean? Like, That could be an opening there. So maybe they're just working their way up to it. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, I'm going with Candice LeRae. It sounds like you're going with Candice LeRae. Is that right?
Yeah, but I do think Io Shirai deserves the win regardless.
Yes.
And again, Candice LeRae is actually really, really talented. Like, no one should ever look at her and say, oh, yeah, she's Johnny Gargano's wife. Like, they're both so talented. And, I mean, they're definitely going to end up in the main roster at some point, like both of them. And Io Shirai is going to end up there sooner, I would say.
Yep. All right, well, let's go to the Street Profits versus the Undisputed Era for the NXT Tag Team Championship match. For me, you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
So, I have a caveat to this, and it's really tricky, and it has to do with all three matches, like okay. with that involving the Undisputed Era. I don't know if Adam Cole is going to get a call up sooner or later, and it's really tough with NXT because you really never know. But do they want to take the title off him this soon and then bring him up? I don't know, but at first my thought was, okay, well, it's easy. Adam Cole wins. O'Reilly and Fish win, and Strong wins, and they finally all have the championships, just like we've been planning, you know, or like they've been planning to, or like at least hyping up forever. Like, they're going to have all the gold. But if Adam Cole is going to get called up, that kind of throws a wrench in things, and then you really don't know, do O'Reilly and Fish win? Does Strong win? Does Cole lose his title? Does he get called up with the title? And also, we don't even know if Adam Cole's going to get called up, like I said. So... I really don't know what to make of those three matches. That really throws a wrench in all three, although I will say that I think O'Reilly and Fish win that match, but we'll get into that later.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on watching for the Undisputed Era to be called up, but I say that intentionally, that it isn't Adam Cole being called up. It is the Undisputed Era being called up, all four of them. Like, that, to me, is the logical thing to do, especially now that you have Heyman running one brand and Bischoff, although not necessarily involved in all the creative, running the other. I just don't see how, when you've got Heyman and Bischoff speaking through themselves to McMahon, that you would have any of those two go, yeah, just let's call up Adam Cole. Like, they're calling all four. Like, there's just absolutely no way that they're just going to bring up Adam Cole. Well, Adam Cole will probably be the star and the, if you want to say, Shawn Michaels of that group, going on to doing bigger and better things as things go by. It's going to be the Undisputed Era that gets called up together like the Shield did, you know, back in the day. So if they are losing all their matches because that's happening around the corner, then I can see that. If they're winning some of their... But I don't see the Undisputed Era taking away the Tag Team Championships at this point. I also don't see the Street Profits losing, considering how much, you know, time and space they're getting on Raw and how popular they are backstage. why would you take the belts off them at this point?
Yeah, it's real tricky. And again, that's what NXT is so good at, keeping you guessing and you don't really know. I was shocked when Gargano won and Gargano lost, and then he retained the title, then lost the title. And I was like, I have no idea what they're doing right now, but I love it. Like, yeah. I have no idea what's going on. And that's kind of something they do very well. I will say that I agree with you. And as soon as you said the answer to the era being called up, it made sense to me. Like, in my mind, I thought Heyman and Bischoff. And then you said it, and I was like, yeah, they're the two that probably, at least, I mean, especially Bischoff, but factions are so big, and they're so big in the early, like, 2000s, and even, like, the Attitude Era before them. So you're talking about the best era of wrestling, right? Like, yep. Arguably. And factions were a big part of it, and these guys were a big part of it, and you have one of the best factions going in wrestling right now. It just seems like the perfect storm. I mean, we've already seen teams kind of unite as well, like the Club or the OC. I don't know. Anyway, getting back together. Them getting back together, and we've seen teams kind of play a more prevalent role in the company as of late. The other two air together would be great. And it also leaves you so many storylines moving forward as well, right?
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Roger Strong either. Before he signed at NXT, that guy was considered one of the best in the world.
He was really good, and he had a lot of run-ins with Daniel Bryan and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's underrated for sure. The only reason that I would even remotely think they'd be taken off the belts from the Street Profits is because maybe they're planning on keeping them on Raw, but the reason that they're on Raw, from what I understand, is to not only promote themselves, but promote the NXT titles. So if you're going to do that, then you're keeping them on Raw, and they don't have the belts anymore. So once I heard that, and that they were there specifically because they were the NXT champions and because they were entertaining, I thought, well, they're not coming to Raw. They're still NXT property. Keep the titles on them, promote the brand, can promote the titles, promote the team, and everybody wins. So I don't see it happening yet. So Street Profits are the winners for me on that one.
All right, I'm going into there.
Okay.
So our first disagreement.
There you go. Where are we going to go next? Let's go to the Shayna Baszler, Mia Yim for the NXT Women's Championship. I can't see anybody beating Shayna Baszler, can you?
No, and that's the best part about it, because as soon as she does lose, whoever gets it is going to get such a huge push.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not, unless they're bringing her up because they think the women's division is lacking, which I don't think they do, Baszler's going to stay undefeated. I don't know. Yeah, Mia Yim is pretty cool, but she's not in that level yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was quick. Okay, so Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne, Roger Strong. We can talk about it a little bit. I would be all over Pete Dunne winning that thing. He might be one of my favorite wrestlers between the NXT UK and North American brand. I love watching that guy wrestle. That said, Velveteen Dream is extremely popular, and Roderick Strong is extremely underrated. So I could see this going anyway. I would pick Pete Dunne if it were up to me. I think Velveteen Dream walks away with it.
Man, I just want Pete Dunne to have everything in the wrestling industry. That guy is so good. Psychology, I don't think anyone's better right now, like, on the planet than Pete Dunne.
I literally cringe watching his matches, and I love it.
Yeah, right? he's a modern day Fit Finlay, but a lot more technical, and like Finlay wasn't the best, like, mat wrestler, let's say, but Pete Dunne could do it all. Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate, still one of the best matches I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I think Tyler Bate was 20 years old at the time, so that says a lot about him too. But Pete Dunne's tremendous. Roger Strong's tremendous. I don't think Velveteen Dream, I think we've talked about it, I don't think he ever becomes anything huge on the main roster just because of the way the fan base is showing that they care about, like, characters like that. Like, Tyler Breeze was a huge star in NXT, and now he's actually huge again, and in the main roster he was just a joke, right? So it's not
here's the other deal. Here's the other deal. Some of these guys in NXT are going to stay in NXT because it's not official yet. But from what I'm understanding, NXT is being moved to Fox Sports 1. Like, yeah, they
have to keep stars there then.
And a 2-hour show live every Wednesday. Live.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And 2 hours.
2 hours. Right up against AEW. So you've
That's
got
their
to
best
keep
chance of competing, actually.
You've NXT got to keep these now. People on NXT, right? Like, you can't promote everybody now. If you're gonna actually put these guys on a cable show in October, head to head against AEW for a 2-hour live show, you cannot lose all your best guys. So you can't just give away Velveteen Dream. You can't just give away whomever, right? Like, you've got to have some guys that everybody loves that can be the face of that brand.
I like the idea of seeing them more and them getting exposure, but I also think you need that developmental brand.
Yes. I think NXT will still be that, and I think Evolve will slowly take its place and become that farm system for NXT. So in a way, it'll be like, you know, if we're relative to hockey, there'll be like, you know, the juniors and the AHL, then the NHL, right? NXT will be that middle ground but hey, man, if they do really well on Wednesdays and they become extremely popular and the ratings just skyrocket on their own, what would be the point? You know, why not just have that show run itself, be NXT, be almost like a separate wrestling company? Every once in a while, a guy shows up from WWE. Every once in a while, an NXT guy shows up over there. Like, you can have that element of surprise. And tell me that these guys in WWE, like, you know, Tyler Breeze and Zack Ryder, won't just go, let's just send me over there. Send me over to FS1 on Wednesdays. I'm good with that, right? Like,
I would, yeah.
It opens up so many more possibilities, right? Yep. Anyway, yeah, this could be the match of the night for sure. There's so many different styles here, right? Like, Velveteen Dream's a good worker. He's entertaining. He can be somewhat of a high flyer. Pete Dunne will ground and pound you to death. And Roderick Strong can do both. So it'll be interesting. I'll stick with Velveteen Dream to win it, but I'd like to see Pete Dunne win it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, but I think Roderick Strong takes it. So I feel like Velveteen Dream makes the most sense. I feel like Strong's going to win it. And I feel like Dunn is the most deserving of the three. Does that make sense?
Yep. But you're picking Roderick Strong. Is that what I'm getting?
I'm picking Roderick Strong.
Okay. There you go. The only one left is the main event. Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano. 2 out of 3 falls match, which we've seen before, which was fantastic. The only criticism of that match, I suppose, was that it was just kick out fest. Like, it was, you couldn't beat anybody. Finishers didn't matter.
Well, it was more the Johnny Gargano, like, Superman show, which, I mean, I was fine with. It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was to the point where I wanted Adam Cole to win. I'm a huge Adam Cole mark, we know this. But I was like, man, I don't even care who wins at this point. Like, this match is so good, and both guys deserve it. Like, I want Adam Cole, but at this point, Roderick Strong is just, like, it was, honestly, like, we just said, it was, like, the kick-out show where, like, you couldn't beat him and no one was losing. But, man, like, they did it in such a good way that it didn't upset me at all. So
yeah, I wasn't upset by it, but I could understand why people were like, dude, how does this help you? But because it doesn't make you look great if you're Adam Cole. But at this point, you're so lost in the match and you're so invested in somebody getting the win, just anybody, that you almost forget that he's just kicked out of this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And then you're like, geez. But if they do that again, that's the only problem with these matches when they have 2 out of 3 falls matches more than one. I mean, at this point, these guys have wrestled like 9 matches against each other. So what's left? That's the real question, is how do they get a match of the year quality match out of this thing, which they probably will.
They will, of course they will.
And have it be different than everything else they've already done. Because when you add up all the falls and you add up the times they've had rematches, these guys have wrestled like 8 times now. So how do you do that? That's the real question. And that's what's going to be the most interesting for me, is what style match does this take?
Well, that's the most impressive part about it. That's what makes these guys, or like, you know, an Okada and Omega kind of thing, that's what makes it so entertaining, because these guys are so smart and so good and so talented that they can do so much. Like, we haven't even seen a fraction of what they can do in the ring together.
And you know they're sitting around talking about it, going, we need to change
up. Oh, they're so excited. They're so excited. I guarantee you, they're like, this is going to be incredible. This is going to be so much fun, and I guarantee you, every one of the, so Lorray and Shirai, Baszler and Yim, Dream, Dunn, Strong, all these, they all are going to be talking to each other saying, we are going to steal the entire weekend. And they all are going to legitimately put up a case for it. And that's including SummerSlam, which is, you know, the second biggest show of the year. These guys are so hungry, and they're so talented, and they know they can put on the show, and they know they have the platform to do it. Triple H does such a good job running the ship there, and that's the only reason why I think that NXT has the best chance of competing with AEW. If Triple H ran Raw or SmackDown, I think it's a much different story. I think those shows are significantly better. Ratings are up. We don't know everything, and obviously we don't. Like, McMahon probably still does a really good job as far as, like, negotiating things and, like, figuring certain things out, and we give him a lot of flack for because of what we see, but the guy obviously still has a mind for the business at the very least. The booking is different, But behind the scenes, we don't know if he's actually good or not, but I assume that he has to be, because no one ever really disrespects the guy when they talk about him from a business standpoint, right? Like, anyone that disrespects is like, I don't hate the WWE, other than maybe CM Punk. But, and that's he also hates Triple H, so that's a whole different story, because he doesn't like either show. But yeah. I think that NXT, it's so well done. And all of these guys know, guys and girls, they just know that they have such a good opportunity right now to really skyrocket their careers. Shayna Baszler, maybe the best story. I mean, Ronda Rousey got all the hype in mainstream media and everything. Shayna Baszler is a pro wrestler right now. Like, she is a legitimate pro wrestler, badass. Like, she's not just a former fighter. She's incredible, and she's one of the top of at her craft right now. And yeah, she did it the right way. Not that Ronda Rousey did it. There's no right way. But she did it in such a proper way that, like, you look at her and, like you just said, can anyone beat her? And that's not a bad thing. They did it in a way where it's just, how could you possibly make her lose?
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm going with Gargano on this one if I have to make a prediction right now, because I think they took the title away from him too quickly. He won it after that 2 out of 3 falls match where he took the title, and then right away he lost it to Adam Cole, which I didn't have a problem with it. I just was a little shocked that they took it from him so fast. So I think they give it back. And I also think that there is a chance that we will see Undisputed Era sooner than later. And if we do, he won't have the title when he shows up. So I'm going with Gargano on this one.
Do we know how Tommaso Ciampa's health's doing?
No, I don't, actually. I want to say that I've heard that he's not far off, if, you know, almost ready to go. But, I haven't. It's just, the last I've heard is that he wants to come back to NXT, and that was late July. So, you know, when he's ready to go, he will be coming back to NXT. He won't be going. There was that moment where he and Gargano showed up together as a tag team, you know, on the main roster. That won't be happening. That's almost like it's never happened. You know, Gargano's back in NXT.
Wait, Ciampa's, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I actually, like, forgot about that.
They're not going back to this stuff. And I have heard that he's coming back sooner than later. So maybe he shows up tomorrow. Like, who knows, right? Like, it could be one of those things. I don't know that he's ready to wrestle, but he's coming back to NXT, and from what I understand, it's going to be sooner than later. So things are looking good for him.
Well, I just remembered, this is why I was so excited when he won the match against Adam Cole in the 2 out of 3 falls, because when he went to the ramp after, and then you just see Tommaso Ciampa come out and, like, hug him, and they embrace at the top of the ramp. That moment is, I mean, I don't know why I forgot about it, but that's one of my fondest moments of the last, like, 10 years in wrestling, easily. It was just such a good moment, such a good story, because it was their moment, right? They were supposed to, you know, finish off that entire storyline, that whole arc, at that show for the title. And it got stolen away from them because of an injury. So now we got to see them, like, embrace there, and are they going to reintroduce them together? I don't know. I think Adam Cole wins it, but Tommaso Ciampa, for some reason, I don't know why, I haven't thought about it in forever, but for some reason, he just came to my mind, and I would love to see him tomorrow. And if he comes out, then all bets are off, because we also don't know, does he help Gargano? Does he hit Gargano? Like,
you don't know with those two. Sometimes they're best friends, and sometimes they're bitter enemies.
Sometimes they're both at the same time. It's really weird, actually, but it's a good dynamic.
Yeah,
but yeah. I'll go Adam Cole.
Okay.
So as you can see, I've got the full Undisputed Era winning.
Yes, you are on the Undisputed. All your money's on the Undisputed Era. So
you gotta double down, right? Like, you gotta,
yeah. If you're right, you're gonna look great. If you're wrong, you're losing them all. So, all right. So, anything else that we want to note about TakeOver before we move on to SummerSlam?
Definitely watch it. Yeah. It'd be crazy not to. Also, isn't War Games the next pay per view? Those are always really good. So that'll be really fun as well. I think that takes place after this one. So, like, November, actually, probably right before Survivor Series, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure something like that. Okay, SummerSlam. There's a lot to go through here. I don't know if we cover them all real quick or we just breeze through the ones that don't really matter all that much.
Do you care? Like, Drew Gulak versus Oney Lorcan, who wins that?
I'll stick with Drew Gulak. He was the guy I said last time because he had a character and he still sort of does. I don't really care who wins that match. The only reason I've even thought about Oney Lorcan in the last couple of days was because he's a former student of Lance Storm's and he's closing his wrestling school here at the end of the year. So that he was in the news in my head for that reason, but I'm still going Drew Gulak.
Yeah, I like Oney Lorcan a lot, but I think he's just a really good wrestler to fight against Drew Gulak here. So I think Gulak wins for sure.
Okay, this is probably an easy one to predict, even though I know you're not going to love the response.
why did I know you were gonna go for right away? Like, you said, this is gonna be an easy one. And I was like, well, I know what it's gonna be.
Yeah,
obviously it's gonna be Balor versus Wyatt.
Yeah, Goldberg versus Ziggler. I don't think this match lasts longer than 3.5 minutes. What about you?
I mean, if you think Ziggler's gonna win that fast, then sure.
I think he might actually win that fast. No, it'll be a Goldberg. He'll spear him a couple times out of his boots just to watch Ziggler flop around like a fish out of water.
Shawn Michaels is gonna make an appearance at some point.
Yeah. I could see that.
If Ziggler wins, there's no reason why Goldberg would lose, but if Ziggler wins, wouldn't that be tremendous? Like, I don't even know why I'm getting my hopes up. Like, he's not winning.
What it does is it changes the entire dynamic of how you think WWE thinks about all these guys. So, one, you think WWE's thinking Goldberg's going to be they want to resurrect what happened at Super Showdown. They want to make him a monster again. In case they ever want to use him, he needs to look good. He can't look like a total dipshit. Meanwhile, Ziggler, you assume WWE doesn't think anything of him because they keep bringing him back and putting him in these spotlights and he always loses and they never give him the title that he probably deserves and all that kind of stuff. So if that reverse happened where Goldberg won, or excuse me, lost, and Ziggler won, then you're like, okay, crap. WWE is not that high on Goldberg and they seem to love Ziggler because they just gave him the biggest rub in the world. So it would change the dynamic of how the company thinks about these two guys and what you would think going forward, as in they're not using Goldberg anymore and they're actually going to use Ziggler, try to re-sign him, keep him, make him happy, and do something with him, right?
Yeah, Ziggler's
that's what that would mean to me.
And then he's going to beat Lesnar for the Universal Championship.
Yeah, I don't see it that far, but what I see is them saying to themselves, okay, well, Goldberg's on his way out. He proved that with the Undertaker match. Ziggler, we don't want to leave. We need to do something to give this guy the boost that he deserves. Well, here's a really good way to do it. That said, it ain't happening. No, you know, like happening. I just don't see Goldberg losing here. The way this has all been set up, it's the most obvious ending that there will be on this card, right?
I mean, realistically, I agree with you, but I have to say Ziggler because I'd look real stupid if I didn't say Ziggler and he won.
Okay. Like,
I have to. I know I'm taking a free loss for this one, but Ziggler's going to win the match, and that's that.
You should call Vegas and put $5 on Ziggler. You could walk away with $100.
Is that the odds right now?
I don't know what it is, but it's got to be close.
Yeah, it's probably more than that, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be 20-1. All right. Trish Stratus, Charlotte Flair. We now know this is officially Trish Stratus's last match ever. So does that change things?
I don't know why I didn't think about like the location being so important. Like, why didn't I process that as like really important? But yeah, no, I don't. Oh, does it change things?
I would say because of this being the last match, she would lose because we watched what happened with Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin. We watched what happens with all these people. Like all these people who are on their last matches are saying, "Here, pin me on my way out." Normal like staying and all these other guys, like that's what happened, right? That isn't how it used to happen. You used to say, okay, thank you, and here's your whatever, and there's always somebody in the back willing to take a pin for somebody who's doing their last match. But WWE doesn't seem to want to do that. The only difference here is, like you said, this location is Toronto, Canada, Trish Stratus country. This SummerSlam is very Canadian, heavily oriented between, you know, Bret Hart being at the meet and greet, Natalya fighting, Trish Stratus fighting. You know, there's a lot of Canadian content here. I would think that Stratus might have, and there's a million reasons to interfere with Charlotte winning this match. Like, there's lots of people who are not happy with her and could use the excuse to come out and help Trish. Like, I could see Lita showing up. Like, I absolutely could see Lita being involved in this match.
I mean, that would be... Lita aged so poorly as far as, like, in-ring work went. She can't even take a bump anymore. So I don't know that she's involved at all, but she is with the company, right? So I guess anything's possible. I was so sure it was going to be Charlotte, but because it's her last match and because it's in Toronto, do they want to give her that moment? Does it even matter giving her that moment?
It makes her a very strong heel. You know, when that's what
I'm saying, just doesn't matter giving Trish Stratus the moment. I don't think her winning really does anything.
I don't think Trish Stratus cares. You know what I mean? She's showing up. She's being a part of the show. She's hanging out with the girl. She's saying farewell. I think she knows the business well enough and was brought up in a time that there was respect shown for the industry that she would probably advocate for taking the loss. Like, my guess is that she would ask to lose. Like, she's not the type of person coming in here going, I want to win my last match. Like, I don't see that happening at all. So if she's winning, it's because WWE decided that she needed to win, not because Trish Stratus was like, well, I want to win my last match. Like, I don't think she cares. Like,
no, I don't think she does.
She probably gets more out of saying, hey, I gave Charlotte that whatever. She's already a star, but hey, you're getting a little extra boost going over Trish Stratus, who might have been, you know, the best diva in WWE history, right? That helps her. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going Charlotte.
Well, then again, the thing is neither of them need to win, which is kind of interesting.
Charlotte sort of does, depending on how it goes, right? Like, she could get away with the loss and still be Charlotte and still be okay. But if you want her to be the big heel, female competitor in WWE, beating Trish Stratus and coming out and bragging about it every week, that's big for her, right? So that's why I'm picking her.
All right, that's fair.
Did you pick one?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to avoid it.
Isn't that the whole point of this show, is to not avoid picking somebody?
I guess. I
mean, if you're going to pick Ziggler, you can't be afraid to pick one of these two.
My gut says Charlotte, so let's go Charlotte. Also, I did the math. I think betting $5 would only give you like $24.
Is that what the odds are?
Yeah, it's plus +375, and I'm not sure that I'm doing the math there right. But anyway, not as much as you'd think.
Jeez,
Goldberg's minus -650, but like I would have expected, like, you know, like Lesnar did, 2,700-1 odds a few years ago, like that those kind of odds for Ziggler versus Goldberg. But maybe Vegas knows something. Maybe I'm making the odds and I'm like skewing them slowly so people don't realize. But yeah, let's go Charlotte in this one.
It's really 80-1, but you've just said what you said, so people will think that Ziggler's got a shot in hell. Okay, here's one that's gotta be closer odds. AJ Styles, Ricochet, United States Championship.
I could tell you the odds for all these matches too, if you go, that can be interesting.
Yeah, I mean we could, but just to see how close it is that Vegas has these two. I'm going with AJ Styles just because I think they gave all of the guys in the OC the titles for a reason. I don't really know what it is, but I think that they want to keep the title around him, especially as the leader of that faction. So I'm going to say that there's some interference here, because I don't think Gallows and Anderson have anything to do with this card yet. So I'm sure there's something going on here that gives AJ Styles the win. The interference helps Ricochet stay strong, and he's still going to be a star on the rise. So I'm going AJ Styles, keeps the title here.
Yeah, I'm also going Andrew Styles. I think it's, you know, pretty standard. Also, I was wrong. It would be that it's 600-1, so it's plus 600. So you'd $5 would be $30. But yeah, I'm going Andrew Styles for sure. I think he's you don't take this away from him now. I think they're really trying to build up this storyline. Then again, that hasn't meant anything in the past. So we'll see. But Andrew Styles has to get the win here. Yeah. And that doesn't mean Ricochet won't get this huge push. Just being in the match with Andrew Styles means that they think very highly of him, I'd say.
And I think this could be one of the matches of the night in terms of in-ring technical performance. I don't think
going to be the match of the night, I think.
I think for another reason, the next match we're going to go to will be the match to watch, but I don't think it'll be the most technical match, but I think it's the match I'm most looking forward to seeing, because I have no idea what's going to happen in it, other than I know who's going to win. I just don't know how they're going to book this thing.
I think I know where you're going with it, yeah.
Yeah, but the AJ Styles versus Ricochet match, I think, will be maybe the best match of the night in terms of watching the in-ring talent just do their thing. Huh. Okay, so you know where I'm going next, right?
Yep.
Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt.
Wait, you're talking about Bayley versus Ember Moon?
Oh my gosh. If there's a person on, how do I say this politely? All due respect to Ember Moon, I could give two craps about whatever it is they've got planned for her. I don't know what it is about her.
I love Ember Moon.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what it is about her that just doesn't, it doesn't do anything for me. I just have no desire.
It's the eyes.
It's not even, man. Like, I don't know what the story is. I just maybe it's the yell when she walks down the ramp. It's the moveset. It's the, I don't know what's going on here. And maybe because she's got the eyes and the interesting back that they haven't done anything with that. Like, there's no, she's just a regular wrestler that comes out and does her thing and she's pretty good. But like, they haven't done it. Like, I'm watching Ember Moon when she first debuts in NXT, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's like a female brood. Here's a, you know, something that really could have a fun kind of character, and they didn't do anything with it. And I think that bothers me. I don't know why. But anyway.
Issue with Dolph Ziggler and Ember Moon isn't with Dolph Ziggler and Ember Moon. It sounds like your issue is with WWE.
Yeah, maybe. I don't get me wrong. I don't like not like Ember Moon be, as a person or because
no, of I know, obviously. As a wrestling fan, you can't get behind the character or the gimmick. I understand completely. Yeah, that's like I find Daniel Bryan incredibly boring most times. As a like, his matches are great, his character's great. I just can't get behind it as far as like watching it. And I'm like, man, I just don't care. And that's one of the best ever. Like, all acknowledge, he's incredible, and he's really good as a heel and a face and on the mic. As a GM, I was like, wow, this is actually really interesting. But when he's a wrestler, his gimmicks just don't keep me sold as like world champion. Maybe he is a B-plus player. I don't know, but.
Well, you're probably like me and Ember Moon. You're probably in the minority there, because I know there's a lot of people who really dig Daniel Bryan's mic work and what he can make out of a character.
I think he's great. It just, for some reason, I can't watch it. When I watch AJ Styles, or I watch Kevin Owens, or I watch Finn Balor, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, for some reason, like, I love it. Seth Rollins even. Actually, Seth Rollins' promo work is really weak. But, I mean, it just, I really love all their stuff and then their matches and everything. Daniel Bryan, I acknowledge everything about him was really great. And, I mean, the indies, he was great. I mean, I should really preface it and say it's the WWE Daniel Bryan. It is Daniel Bryan that I'm not crazy about. Bryan Danielson, I thought, was amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, it depends on your background and where you're coming from, right? Like, if you were big into the Bryan Danielson stuff, then you're going to love just the in-ring work and whatever else. And if you only know him as Daniel Bryan, and then you watched him come up through the NXT, you know, that competition where he was the Miz's student, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then you watched him sort of get fired and then get rehired. And
I mean, legitimately get fired. And they're like,
yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, make something out of a character that no one thought anybody would ever dig or do anything with, and then just become the most popular person in wrestling. And then the injury thing happened, and then he came back.
One of the best stories in wrestling, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where most people know him. So that's why I think there's so many people who love him, that they've seen that story and watched it from beginning to end. So we'd be in the minority by you saying you're not a huge fan of his, you know, watching him every week. And I'm certainly not a huge fan of watching Ember Moon every week. Now that we've talked so much about this, let's do this match before we do the Balor Wyatt match. Who do you pick for Bayley versus Ember Moon? And I think we called this last pay-per-view when we were both way wrong. I think that Sasha Banks gets involved in this one.
I don't think she gets involved. I'm over it.
I'm totally over it, but I've heard and I've read and I'm seeing that they're ready to roll. That she's finally, that maybe this whole big thing about her being totally upset was way blown out of proportion.
That would be the first time ever.
Is just trying to find a way to bring her back. And I don't see this Ember Moon Bayley thing being anything anybody cares about. Like, it was just like,
I don't really care.
I'm going to choose you as my opponent because, you know, maybe you deserve it. Oh, I'm going to pretend like I don't like you because I don't want anybody to think I'm a pushover. Oh, by the way, I'll take a cheap shot at you. Like, there's nothing behind this match. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing to it. So it's going to end really quick. Like, there's no feud here. There's no finish. There's no follow up.
It's a 7 or 8 minute match.
Yeah, and there will be nothing that comes of it afterwards. There might be a rematch on SmackDown because that's what they do, but it won't mean anything. And if Sasha Banks gets involved, or, you know, there's a beef between the two or whatever, because Ember Moon doesn't have enough villainy in her to be like, oh, I'm going to screw Bayley. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing there going on. So it's going to be Sasha who screws Bayley if that happens. So I could see that, because there's nothing else in this match that I even remotely would care to tune in for. So I'm just hoping Sasha Banks comes into it. But yes, I'm going Bayley too. I don't see how she loses.
It sucks because I'm such a huge Sasha Banks fan. I love Sasha Banks. I just, this whole storyline, is she going to be there? Is she not going to be there? I'm over it. So when she shows up, great. I'm going to be happy. Until then,
I'm a Sasha Banks the boss character.
Yes. Sure.
I'm not a Sasha Banks anything else fan.
Yes.
She has 100%. To be the boss. She has to be cocky. She's got to come down in the Guerrero.
Make her a heel.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it matters. Like,
that, while we're at it, turn John Cena heel. And Roman Reigns.
Except that these guys won't be around. I mean, Roman Reigns will, but Cena's done. Okay, so let's go Finn Balor now, Bray Wyatt. I think we're both probably going to assume that Wyatt Fiend wins this thing handily.
Yeah.
Would you go that far? Would you say it's almost like a squash, even though it lasts a little longer than a squash?
I don't think it really matters for Balor, even if it is a squash, because if he is leaving for a little bit, then who cares, right? He comes back, and it's like a totally, like, no one remembers it.
How do you book all of this and have The Fiend take any bumps? That's what I'm wondering, right?
Yeah, like, you can't really. He has to look like
built this up so much, and there's Wyatt, and then the Fiend is the demon version of this Wyatt that he's unleashing. I mean, how does he take any hits here? Like,
I don't think he does.
Because
he has to, but like, it's going to be hard to really, he can't go down.
Does that hurt him though? Right? Like, does the Fiend and Bray Wyatt get a whole lot less interesting the second he steps into the ring?
Yes.
And you realize that he's human.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And that's why we said, like, him doing the promos, fantastic. Just every single week was must-see. Him as a reality in the wrestling world is totally different because you can't protect him forever. Like,
I already don't love the fact that he's doing the mandible claw and that he's done it to Kurt Angle and Mick Foley. I don't understand it. Why would you pick a move that belonged to somebody else? And what is he randomly attacking these legends for? Like, yeah, go after Balor. Go after someone. Pick a feud with somebody.
He's not attacking legends. He's attacking former Raw GMs.
Yeah, that might be the deal. Look out, AJ Lee. Yeah, so who knows, right? Like, I don't know how this goes and how they book it, and that's what I said. It's the match to watch for me because I'm really curious as to how they're going to do this. Yeah. Like, what's the procedure here? Are they going to just have this be a quick thing so that he looks unbeatable? Does he look more human? Does this match go 10 to 15 minutes? I mean, we know we can wrestle. So does he wear the mask while he's wrestling?
Yes.
So how does that work?
I don't know, man.
Like, or does he have something on underneath it? Like, does he have some kind of crazy face paint?
Oh, like Kane.
When Kane removed his mask and he was half bald or half whatever, like, what's going on there? Like, is he wrestling that way? Does he wrestle with the mask on the whole time? Like, I just have no idea what they're going to do here. And that's what makes it so interesting for me.
I agree with that. So we both think Wyatt wins.
Yes, absolutely. I think he wins. It's just a matter of how.
Okay.
Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon.
Kevin Owens.
It made it pretty easy, right?
Is there anything to even talk about with this?
Just the amount of people who aren't on the card who could get involved, I guess. Drew McIntyre, Elias. All these Sammy people, Zane. The Revival, Sammy. Yeah, anybody who isn't on the card at this point and is associated in any way with Shane McMahon might get involved in this. And how does it work? Are you pushing Kevin Owens so hard and this stunner so hard that he's just going to do this to everybody? Or is it just going to be an overwhelming, like, Kevin Owens can't even beat those amount of numbers, right? Like, what do you do here, right? I've read and I've heard that McMahon might be on his way out. I don't know. Like, I just... I like the Kevin Owens stuff. That promo we did that one time was fantastic, but that he's using the stunner all the time and that he's so obviously a copycat of Steve Austin, I've already kind of go, oh man, I hope they figure this out, like turn a different direction at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I think this match is the one I'm least excited about, other than maybe Becky Lynch versus Natalya and True Gulak versus... Actually, you know what? I'm kind of interested in seeing Gulak versus Lorcan. So this might be the Lynch-Natalya match are the ones I'm least interested in. Natalya is another one of those people who I understand she's really good in the ring. She's so boring to me. As a heel, as a face, in the ring. I can't stand Natalya. As a person, she's probably really nice. And she's really talented. I don't like watching her.
I think her promos are a struggle. Even though she's been doing them forever, there's something about them that you can feel they were kind of forced and a little chalky.
Charlotte
and
Flair is also very forced with her promos.
You'd think she'd be fantastic at it considering who her dad is.
Well, she's really good as a, I think it's intentional almost, because when she was a face, her promos were really good, and then she turned heel again and I was like, what's happening, why is she going back to this? Like, and then Becky, I said that I was going to beat you. And I, like, it's so forced. Like, she's acting, right? Like, she's on stage for a play. It's not like a TV show where she's just talking normally. Like, Becky just talks. Alexa Bliss just talks. Sasha Banks also kind of forces her promos. Bayley's in the middle of the two. I'd say she's closer to being natural than she is to forcing it, but sometimes you feel it's forced. But, like, amongst the top of the top women wrestlers on the roster, Charlotte Flair's promo skills as a heel are just not good. And, I mean, Bex Natalya, like we said, that she's not even on the scale. Like, it's just not good. And even forget just how forced it is. Nothing she says is really, it's all just cliche all the time.
You talking about Natalya or Charlotte?
Natalya.
Yeah.
Charlotte's content is good. It's just the delivery I'm not crazy about. Natalya's everything just bores me.
Yeah, she is very cliche in her promos. Like, if you had to write down 20 things you'd say in a promo class, Natalya spits out two or three of them in almost every interview she ever does. Well, let's go there then. So, Natalya and Becky Lynch. we're talked about the home country and stuff. I don't think it matters. Becky Lynch probably wins.
I mean, Becky Lynch definitely wins, and if she doesn't, we riot. I think that's how this goes. I don't remember.
Well, if she hasn't lost enough steam with this relationship to Seth Rollins thing, which it looks like they've put to an end, but I mean, obviously not put to an end. They're still together, but they're not talking about it, and they're not teaming them up together as much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see much of this match being anything anyone's going to write home about. I think it's probably going to be pretty boring. Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. This could be a sleeper match of the night for me. I think it could be very good.
A lot of history.
I was just going to say the history, and then bringing it up was really cool. And the way they sort of reworked it, you know, it was kind of neat when, you know, Orton did that. Not neat, because I thought it was kind of a dick thing to do. But when Orton did that originally 9 years ago or whatever it was, where he's yelling at Kofi Kingston because of a botched move, they haven't said that part of it. They didn't say why he was yelling at him. They've been showing that footage over and over again and claiming that he just doesn't like Kofi because he wasn't ready and blah, 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 blah. But they didn't really get into the whole he botched a move thing. But they're writing that story, which is kind of neat. But I don't see Kofi not winning this. I think he takes it home pretty easy.
Yeah, well, that goes even further when you have, like, there was multiple moves. I think there's the one where it's, like, on the table where they messed that up as well. And Kofi had this huge push, and it just, like, went away because Orton was mad at him. So there's a lot of real history there. And, I mean, fans that have been here for over a decade that have watched it know what the history is. But, yeah, I can't see Orton winning it. I don't see Orton. Whenever he does win it, like, again, I think Randy Orton's the perfect wrestler for the WWE. But he's not your face, your company anymore. Even in 2015, when they made him the face of the company, people were like, really? We're doing this again? But I actually like the 2015 angle. So it could be done well. But again, of all the people that Kofi's faced since winning the championship, this is probably the least likely person to beat him for it. So I can't wait to see him winning the championship in a few weeks. A few hours, not a few weeks.
The only thing that we haven't touched on yet is the final match, but there's one more thing we should probably go through. We can either do it before or after.
Let's do the sponsor. Sorry, we don't have this yet.
Yeah. No, it's just going to be the people who surprisingly aren't on the card. But let's talk about the main event, the Brock Lesnar-Seth Rollins match. I am completely bored with Seth Rollins at this point. I don't love the idea that Lesnar's the guy you keep calling on. But he's been around a little bit more often. He seems more invested. I don't see you giving this to Seth Rollins. I don't see WWE at least giving this to Seth Rollins. I think the fans probably figure he might get it, but I still think Lesnar's walking away with this thing.
I think Will Ospreay comes in and wins, to be honest. But, it's definitely Brock Lesnar. And I think I had a question for you, actually, about this match.
Yep.
So you don't care about this match at all, right?
No. I'm okay to watch the match. I really have lost interest. I wouldn't lost respect for it, because I appreciate why Seth Rollins has been on social media talking the way he's talking, and I understand what he's trying to accomplish. Yeah, I just think he's gone about it the wrong way.
Typical company man.
Right, and we talked about this last week, that I just think the things that they're doing with him make him look so uncool that they are trying so badly to make him look cool. It's just not working, and it makes you just like not want to even watch him. But the match itself should be okay.
In general, I think been there, done that. And I wanted to ask if you could switch. And again, this is, you have a different opinion than I do, obviously, but I don't really care about this match at all. So I was going to say, if you could have the matches as presented, Lesnar versus Rollins and Goldberg versus Ziggler, or do Goldberg versus Lesnar again, just because, and then put Rollins and Ziggler together, which of the two, choices would you want there?
Like the way they are now, or Goldberg versus Lesnar?
Yeah.
It depends on whether or not the history is there for things that have already happened. Like, if this Goldberg match at Super Showdown never existed, then maybe. You know, or if... Like, I can't see you putting... When you need Goldberg to look like Goldberg, and he looks anything but Goldberg right now, putting him in the ring with Brock Lesnar doesn't help you. Mm-hmm. Right, but when you need Goldberg to look like a million bucks, putting him in there with Ziggler does that. So, sure. Depending based on whether or not that history is there and the Super Showdown happened or didn't happen, then that changes my answer. Right,
I just think as far as quality of match goes, like Ziggler versus Rollins by itself is better than any of the other combinations of matches you could have.
Sure, but I don't think it's SummerSlam main event worthy.
I'm not saying it would be the main event. I'm just saying the best match of the night. Like, if AJ Styles and Ricochet and also Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler both had matches on the card, you can't, like, definitively say this is going to be the best match of the night, technically.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, Rollins isn't as good as Styles and probably not as good as Ricochet in the ring, and Ziggler is right up there with Styles and Ricochet. So just technically speaking like that, you'd have to give the edge to Styles and Ricochet. But anything can happen, right? Chemistry is a thing. The storylines going into it. Just the way they decide to tell the match, the time they're given. So it's hard to judge wrestlers entirely off of one match. And I think we do that too often in this industry where we really judge people. And you're like, well, they tried to tell a story and it's hit or miss. And they have one chance to do it. And it's live. So it's a really hard industry. But here we are.
Yeah, and if the Lesnar-Seth Rollins match hadn't opened WrestleMania, like if it wasn't treated like an afterthought and just like, oh, well, he doesn't want to stick around, so let's put him at the front of the card, we might think differently about this match then too, right? Like we've seen it already, but we saw it open WrestleMania and Rollins won decisively. I don't know. They're just making Rollins look like he's a little bit weaker. Lesnar looks like he's strong again. I really don't know where this is going to go, but I think Lesnar has got to have it. I don't know if I would change it. The match is, this card is not like some of the ones they've done recently where I'm looking at it going, wow, this could be a real sleeper card. Like there's some really good matches on here. There are not a lot of very good matches on this one. Like there's nothing about most of these matches that I'm like, this is going to be fantastic. I just think you're hoping that SummerSlam is not a letdown. That's how I see this card.
That being said, the pay-per-view has been really good.
So, yes, they've been much better.
So it's hard to, I mean, at this point, I want to give them benefit of the doubt. Then again, I wanted to do that with Ziggler, and they made him lose in, 17 seconds?
Yeah.
So, I'm losing faith here. And then they booked him against Goldberg. So I'm kind of losing faith very, very quickly. But we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. So let's talk just really quickly about the people who are not on this card. Roman Reigns on the poster is not even in a match anymore. Partially because of the whole backstage secret attacker thing, but when you consider that, you know,
wait. Oh my God, Ziggler might win. What if Matt Riddle's involved?
Yeah.
Oh no, seriously, I'm serious about this. Wait, I
mean, if they're planning on keeping Goldberg around.
Oh, forget the way I presented it. Like, well, I have to pick Ziggler. I'm absolutely picking Ziggler with confidence. Good band, but with confidence.
Okay. All right.
Back to the
now, so now not only you're betting on Ziggler to win, you put some money down on Riddle to show up, huh?
I mean, I guess I have, yeah.
He's not on the takeover card, maybe.
Oh, wow, it's all lining up.
Oh, it all makes sense. Yeah,
or he comes through, like, can you imagine? I really should have bet money on this. I still could. And then again,
so who's not on this thing? Roman Reigns is not on this thing. Samoa Joe's not on this thing. Daniel Bryan's not on this thing. Yeah, like none of these guys are on a SummerSlam card that's just probably going to be 7 hours long.
Like, oh my God. Why you got to say it like that?
Isn't that crazy? Like, there's so many people that are not on this card that will probably be involved in the pay per view somehow.
Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross.
Yeah, none of them have matches.
The Kabuki Warriors, like you said before.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
Aleister Black versus Sami Zayn is not even on the card because they did it on SmackDown.
Yeah. Wow. That's oof. And it's the biggest show of the year. Like, there's actually not that many matches, considering it's the biggest. There's only 10 matches.
Well, there might be more added. Like, they might be doing something. I've heard that they might put Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns together versus Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. Like, that they might just throw that on there. I would hope not, because it's 2 days away. And you would think, well, maybe they might want to actually promote that match.
Yeah, but if you could do any match, it would be a match involving Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
like you can do that with those two because people are going to be like, oh my God, this is incredible. And they're going to love to cheer or boo, depending who it is. So.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we went a little bit over the 45 minutes we said we would do, but we got a pretty good rundown of both TakeOver and SummerSlam.
Yeah.
There's some news and stuff that I'll quickly cover, you know, to begin the show or to end the show before we sign off for the day. But is there anything else you want to add about the pay-per-view before I let you run?
It doesn't look as good as I'd like it to, but I mean, like I said, I'm going to have to give it the benefit of the doubt and say it probably will still be a good show.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. I will definitely watch it and I will be, you know, crossing my fingers that it's much better than we all hope it will be. But, yeah, TakeOver will be the show to watch of the two. That's That's for sure.
Definitely. That's why I said shock the system, because it's going to be the Undisputed Era show.
Yep. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I'll let you get running here. I know it's Friday night as we record this, and, you know, some people at 9:30 on a Friday night got to get ready for bed. So I know
I'm old that. Now, Jim.
That's right. Dude, you don't even want to know how old I am. So, yeah, I'll finish things up. We'll put it up either tonight or tomorrow just to make sure that we have all our predictions out before TakeOver airs tomorrow. So hopefully people will get a chance to tune in, share it, download it, subscribe to it. Anchor.fm, sportshare.com, wrestlingwriteups.com, all the social media platforms, YouTube. We'll share all of this stuff with people, and hopefully you get a chance to listen to it and can share their own opinions about the card, what they think is going to happen on TakeOver and SummerSlam as we get into the weekend.
And tell me, like, tweet at me if you're going to also be betting on Dolph Ziggler. Let's start a whole platform of Dolph Ziggler fanatics here.
Yeah, well, hashtag bet on Dolph Ziggler.
All right, we can do that. Yeah, that's going to be the
let's
hashtag.
Let's see if we can get that trending. Hashtag bet on Ziggler. All right, man.
All right.
Okay, I will talk to you next week as we go through who won and what happened off the card and then the Raw and SmackDown to follow.
And how smart I was about Ziggler. Here we go.
And if it doesn't happen, we won't even bring it up.
I will. I feel like I cannot go at least one or two segments without talking about Dolph Ziggler anymore. That's my new shtick.
It's the best part of the whole show.
I think so. It's the most fun for me anyway.
The revival.
Yeah. So good.
All right, man. Okay, I'll talk to you next week. Until then. What's that?
Also not on the show. Revival. Also not on the show. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All right.
Okay, good show, man. Say until next week, we'll see you next time. We'll talk to you next time. We'll hear from you next time, or whatever it is that we actually do on this thing. This has been another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. See you guys next week.